Welcome to the InnovaBuzz podcast, where our job is to help you build visibility, professional credibility, and connection with your ideal client by putting the human at the center of innovative marketing, so you can build and strengthen an engaging, enduring relationship with your ideal clients. I'm Jürgen Strauss from InnovaBiz, and I'm honored that you're here with me. If you haven't joined our wonderful marketing transformation community yet, go to innovabiz.co and collect your free gift as well. Do subscribe to the show and also leave a review because it helps others find us. Let's get into today's masterclass on this InnovaBuzz podcast.
If you're not sure what your voice is, the only way you're going to find out is if you just get writing and start putting it out there. There really is no other way. Like, you may want this fancy voice or this fancy message, but at the end of the day, it has to be your voice. And the only way to get there is to start using it.
Welcome back. I hope you've had an awesome week so far. If you haven't yet listened to my recent conversations with on-demand CFO Mr. Biz Ken Wentworth and with empathy expert Dr. Mark Goulston, then do go check them out, but after you've listened to today's conversation. I'm really excited to have on the InnovaBuzz podcast as my guest today, Christina Torres. Christina is a copywriter and content creator. She's the Chief Creative Officer at Run and Tell That, and also co-host of the Bagels and Plantains podcast. Christina believes that every entrepreneur and small business has a unique and fascinating story to tell. She helps them turn out that message and turn up the conversations they've always wanted to but haven't had the time to. In our discussion today, Christina talked to me about talking to people who you want to serve and providing them what they want, as opposed to what you might want for them. She gave many tips for writing how you speak in your authentic, unique voice, and we talked a lot about the importance of having empathy with your audience. Without further ado, then, let's fly into the hive and get the buzz from Christina Torres. Hi, I'm your host, Jürgen Strauss from InnovaBiz, and I'm really excited to welcome to the InnovaBuzz podcast today, all the way from New York in the USA, of course, Christina Torres, who's a copywriter. She's the founder and chief creative officer of Run and Tell That, and also co-host of the Bagels and Plantain podcast. Welcome to the InnovaBuzz podcast, Christina. It's a real privilege to have you as my guest.
Ah, thank you, Jerry. I'm really excited. It feels like now months in the making. Yeah. And so it's awesome that this day is finally here, given the conditions.
Yeah, now Prerna Malik, who was our guest on episode 265 of the InnovaBuzz podcast, suggested that we have you a conversation with you on the podcast, Christina. So big hello to Prerna.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. Prerna's my, I like to call her my, what is it? My Mary God content mother. She's a business mother. Everything, every idea I have, it's like, Prerna, is this a good idea? She's like, yay or nay. Yeah. Usually yay. So it makes me feel good.
That's good. Yeah. Yeah. And we had a lovely conversation with her a little while back too. Now, Run and Tell That is built on the belief that every entrepreneur and small business has a unique and fascinating story to tell. And I'm really keen to dig into that whole background a little bit more, writing stories for business. But before we do that, give us a bit of a whistle-stop tour of your business story.
Yeah, absolutely. It's so funny. Every time someone's like, well, tell me how you got started, I'm like, how far back would you like me to go, right? Because it's like, I feel like everything I've ever probably done, at least for money, let's be real. I won't say everything, like not the butterfly pictures I drew for my mom when I was younger, but definitely everything I've done has brought me to this place. And I don't think until right, like these past 2 years, these past 3 years that I've gone kind of gung-ho in my business, have I even used my college degree? And that was like something in the entrepreneurial space that everyone's like, oh, you know, you got the college degree and do you even use it? And it's like, yeah, well, now I do. So I went to college here in New York for business management. All throughout it, you know, doing bartending jobs, doing a lot of like customer support jobs. I mean, I've been in and out of before, like really discovering that copywriting and marketing and messaging was my passion. I was just in a lot of almost, I guess, in real life, customer experience and user experience jobs. For a good part of my career, I was supporting executives. So there's a lot of social psychology in that. there's a lot of balancing of personalities and understanding, you know, how this one works and how this one likes things done for them. And it's a lot of positioning. There's a lot of positioning there and getting people to kind of bend to your will. So before I knew email copywriting or what copywriting was, I was already using kind of my gift of gab and my gift of messaging to get people to do what I needed them to do for my executives, for my patrons, for all that. It wasn't until I actually came across, she's huge in copywriting. I feel like I feel like when I say her, it's almost like Michael Jackson, like in the copywriting. So your audience may or may not know her, but I remember I came across Talking Shrimp, Laura Belgray. Mm-hmm. And she was the first one I felt like in the writing space, at least in what I knew of copywriting, that really spoke or really wrote the way she spoke. And I didn't really see that in advertising. I mean, I guess I saw it. And there was this always this little fire in me to be in marketing. Like New York is, there's two things you do. You either get in finance or you get into advertising. And like those are like the really big paying jobs out here. I chose finance because I felt like it paid more. And so I would always with this inkling that advertising was just like this shiny, beautiful thing. Like I used to, before we had smartphones, I used to take pictures with my razor phone of like the subway ads. If they were really clever and really fun, I would take pictures of them, or they were lyrical. I'm a huge, huge hip hop fan. And that's a bunch, that's words. There was just so many clues that I should have been doing this and I just didn't know it. but then I found Laura Belgray and I was like, yeah, this is what I want to do. I want to do this. But I realized like the kind of copy I wanted to write wasn't probably for things I wanted to buy and weren't for the people I wanted to help. I kind of wanted to help my friends start businesses, and I wanted to help, you know, mom and pop things that I, you know, even if it looked a little janky on the internet, I'm like, this is an awesome product that I kind of wanted to help them hone their voice and hone their messaging. And so I just went at it. I soaked up everything copywriting, everything marketing, every digital. And I think a lot of intuition, just like as a consumer, there's so much you know that you don't realize you know, you know. And I was like, well, I love shopping. So this may be the thing for me. So yeah, I was looking for agents. I thought it was going to be an agency work. I was like looking at it. And then I joined the Copywriter Club. They're underground. And I just talked to Rob Marsh. And I was like, how do I get into an agency? How do I get to an agency? And I'd always been asking them questions and showing them copy critiques. And he said, Christina, you can do this on your own. You don't need an agency. And I was like, oh, okay. So it was kind of that. That's kind of like how it just all happened. It was a bunch of, you know, little things that added up to like what was my dream job. I wish it was one clear path. I don't think it is for anyone, but it took someone giving me the permission. Right. And so I wanted to give people who are not necessarily whatever the Caspers of the world or the really cool SaaS thing, give them the permission to kind of be that big and be like, no, you have a very unique voice. You have a very unique product product, you solve a very unique problem, you deserve that type of visibility. And that's kind of what I've been doing.
Hmm. So tell us a little bit about who you work for now and what you do for them.
Yeah. So what happens a lot in our career is I've recently taken a pivot. I was solely doing copy. Like, you hire me for copy, very freelance, not too much strategy. And so it kind of just came naturally when I was doing those copywriting gigs, that strategy would just come into play because I was really passionate about what these people were doing. And I wanted to make sure they had all the tools they had to make the content that I wrote for them succeed. And so what I noticed a lot of what was happening is that I was getting into these bootstrap and startup businesses, whether they be yogis, I'm trying to think of all the things I went for, whether they be yogis, whether it be AODA accessible web designers, so people who specifically design for people with disabilities, whether it be, what's funny is I probably now in this pivot, I've worked with more copywriters than not, or more digital marketers. People actually really understand this space. It's just that what happens to all of us in any industry is that you kind of become, the cobbler's son. And like, you don't have anyone doing those pieces for you. Like, I'm doing this stuff for everyone, but no one's doing those pieces. And I was like, those are the people I want to work for. A, I get it. I know what it is to run a copywriting, a mini, you know, whatever you want to call yourself, a copywriting agency, or be a solopreneur, or be a one man, a team of one is what I call it. I know what that looks like. Why not help those people who are also doing kind of what I'm doing, kind of have the same mission? And so it's kind of become that. And I've kind of moved from, a Jill of all trades copywriter into a pocket CMO for creatives. So I come in and it's really just me project managing and picking up some of those launch pieces that you'd love to get to, or maybe you've kind of psyched yourself out of doing because you didn't have someone who either understood the space, or you didn't have someone who just someone. Maybe you just didn't have someone. And now's the time. You're like ready for scale. You're ready for growth. This copywriter loves the things that I hate doing. Sure, let's do this. And that's kind of who I've been working with now. I'm still working with, I feel like there's so many different types of creatives, but more often now than ever is that I'm copywriting for copywriters, which is actually a really huge honor in itself.
Yeah. Yeah, that's fascinating. And I guess in some ways it could be intimidating, right? Because people are, you're doing some work and people are looking at it and saying, well, I wouldn't do it that way. And I'm a copywriter too.
Yeah, it's kind of crazy.
What I'm curious about, you mentioned as you were telling your story of your background about writing, that you admire those people that wrote how they spoke, so that there was a kind of a congruent message through every communication that they put out, whether it was their written communication or their verbal, or if they were on video and so on. How do you as a copywriter for somebody else achieve that, writing the way they speak? Because obviously if they get on video or if they broadcast their voice, it's going to be them speaking, not you.
Right.
And maybe they're reading your copy, but it's still got to sound like them, right?
Yeah. I think what's funny, there's not this like, I wish there was this really like cool magic trick, but I think the trick to it is A, writing for people that either inspire your own work. Like, you're like, I want to write like you. I already probably read every email, everything. Like, I pretty much eat and breathe everything you put out. And so it's almost like we have the same tone and voice, as opposed to like, I know a lot of people are like, there's Justin Blackman, who's amazing. And he's like the brand voice ventriloquist. He can write in any voice, but I'm sure deep down there's a voice he's really great at writing. And it's probably really funny, downtrodden, like type of copywriting, even though he can probably write for a Marriott or any of those brands, any huge brand, and still sound like them, there's something he's really good at. And so they're typically people, the copywriters I work with are, they're basically, they're just me that live in another place. So for instance, they're usually a mom. They're usually a mom and balancing a business. They probably don't take themselves super seriously. Like they take helping others seriously, but they probably don't take themselves super seriously. They may have, like me, some anxiety or some hesitation to being visible. For the most part, I work with, actually no, I'd say 99% of the time, I work for women and I work for women of color. And I think we as a whole have very same, whether they're real or fictitious, hangups about being visible and speaking in our voices, that I get it. And so, you know, that's something that has now come part of my platform, is because I admire these people so much that I want to push them to be as visible and have as many people love them and be affected as I was by their writing and by their work and by their courses, that I just kind of like soak that all in and kind of take on those fears, absorb those fears so they can push forward. I just was on a call with someone I've been admiring forever. And I told her that I actually had to talk to somebody before talking to her because I was like sweating. She's like, me? Really? I am so not a big deal. And I'm like, are you crazy? So it's, what's funny is that these people are human and they just don't know. I don't think they know their impact. And I think when you go into someone's brand, whether you're a copywriter or not, and you're like a super fan of what they do, even like even the tedious stuff is like the most beautiful thing you've done that day, because you really, you're just a huge fan.
I wrote a post, or actually I recorded an audio episode of another podcast I do recently, and I titled it something like "You Don't Realize What You Know," and it's, you know, you have all these things stored inside you, knowledge and little bits of information that you kind of take for granted, and until somebody says, "How did you do that? That's amazing," you know, and then you say, "Well, no, it's kind of just I do it. That's what I do. It's just, you know, it's, I don't even think about it. Oh, that's amazing." So, and these are the little things that we can be sharing with people, because until we share them, those other people that respond in that way don't know about this information.
Oh yeah, 100%. Like, until, I forgot who it was. It might have still been Laura. Like, until then, I was like, oh, we can curse in our copy? I'm from Brooklyn, and sometimes I'm very Robert De Niro in my language. And I was like, we can? Oh, this is a game changer. Let's find cool ways to get away with this. It's so interesting. Actually, I was just working with a client, and we were talking about, you know, she does a membership. And she was like, this, for some whatever reason, like, people are just not like signing up this month. She kind of does like soft launches for each theme. She has a very open, it doesn't have like closed cart. It's open all year round. And it was a tough theme. And I think what she was trying to sell was a lot of the process and a lot of the parts that her audience are not aware of yet. Like, they may not even be problem aware. They know something's going on or something's off. She's kind of in the coaching space, but she was approaching it for someone who's already been enlightened. And I was like, you know how when I talk to you about like copywriting and marketing and like acronyms, and you look at me like a deer in headlights? Like, that's kind of what's happening here, I think. And I think it's just a little too deep. So what do you want from me? You just want better open rates and conversions, right? You can give a hoot about all this other most highest part attention, most highest part of attention, most highest part of pleasure. Like, you don't, not really that concerned. You just know you want your conversions. And then it's like the other way around. You just think those are things that people should know. Or you think, you're just like, oh yeah, of course, that's basics for me. But she was like, I never thought about that. Like, yeah, you want to give them what they want, which is maybe like you know, to start forgiving, you know, if I forget, they don't know that forgiveness is what they need. Maybe what they need is to figure out how to finally land the job of their dreams, right? And stop beating themselves for like not doing anything about it. All you want to sell them is what they want. And you're selling them what they need. And nobody wants that. No one wants a pair of socks. Like, you know, like, but you need socks. Like, yeah, but this is not a good present. So that's kind of like my approach to it. It's like, just don't be like, think about your audience. Try not to be a crappy gift giver. Is it what they need? Yes. But how can we make it thoughtful? So,
Yeah. A lot of what you're describing is kind of having empathy with your audience, right? Because what you talked about earlier was, you know, you had so much in common, or you have so much in common with your own clients. And so you understand their anxieties, their fears, their frustrations and challenges. And so that helps you write in their voice. And also when you now help your clients, it's about empathy with their client, and like you say, giving them more, talking to them about what they want, and then finding a way to package what they really need there. Because I think giving them what they really need is the transformation that's going to, going to give them an amazing experience. But getting them to kind of buy in at the beginning is understanding what they really want.
Yeah.
All right. Now, one of the things I'm curious about is, I mean, I'm finding something, I don't know whether you're finding this too, with we're in the middle of the coronavirus pandemic and lockdown at the moment as we record this. And I'm finding, even though I've been really radical over the last 6 months in unsubscribing from a lot of email so that I can kind of better manage my email. But now all of a sudden, first of all, my email's being flooded with all these offers. So people are trying to sell things on email, whereas in the past, you know, they'd been selling them in other ways. So now all of a sudden everybody's coming into email to sell information. And the second thing I'm finding is there's about 50 webinars and virtual events that I could get involved in during the week. I could probably spend 24 hours a day, 7 days a week going to virtual events of all kind and never get any work done. So with all of that noise coming in, how do you construct your own copy so that it's compelling and it gets people to actually pay attention to it with all the other noise going around?
Yeah, I think one thing you can do right now, whether she meant to do it or not, it actually was on your podcast. Summer actually just released a course, and it's for e-commerce email, a beta course. And part of her sales copy was like very adamant about like not coming into this if you're like in a million and one courses, and you think adding another course is going to give you the confidence to do stuff. Like, you can just do it. If you really try your darndest, you just search the internet, you can just do this. B, I don't want you to take on debt. This is not the time. And I don't think that's happening. And I don't think that's ever really happened. Like, people are always willing, are always like, oh, you know, you have to, whatever, sell the farm for your dreams. And it's like, oh, well, there's other ways. And what I thought was genius, whether she did it by design or not, her webinar was not more than 30 minutes. I think it was 30 minutes to the thing. And it was, you can come to it, come back to it anytime. She was just like, again, if this is not like, she didn't blast it. It wasn't like something, because she knew people were in course fatigue and there was probably a lot of courses going on at the same time. I think just empathizing with people and giving them the permission to like not show up, it probably sounds counterintuitive. But it's like, listen, you don't need another thing. You don't. You're more than welcome to come to this thing. Absolutely. I want to give you this value. But giving them the permission and being like, you know what? This is what I stand for. I don't stand for you going into debt, because this is definitely more than ever not the time to incur expenses that you don't. Here are the places you can probably go find this stuff. But this is just going to get you there faster and you get my attention. Be, you know, giving people permission to take a seat and just rest, and that they have probably the answers within themselves. Again, probably not something that's going to sell a course. Like if I tell you, you have all the answers, will you come to this course? Maybe you will. Maybe you'll love that I took a stand for that, but maybe you won't. And that's a chance I have to take. And then three, like really looking at the market, like market validation. Yes, people are using this time, but look at your audience. If your audience is, you know, typically a mom with three kids who's balancing all this, is this now another thing that she needs? What can we give her that maybe, A, you also probably have to think about your product before you even start writing copy, but maybe is there ways that we can empathize and make this experience something totally different? I mean, at the end of the day, it's experience over copy. Like I can write the best copy, but I need to convey that your time is valuable and that your experience here is something I'm willing to like 10x. And I don't think if that doesn't come through in your copy and that I care about you and that I care about your well-being, then it's, I think another sales email talking about, you know, you have nothing but time. That's not true for everyone. That's a privilege to have a lot of time. I have zero time. Yeah. This has not been the time for me.
Yeah. Well, I've had at least three conversations this week already. It's early in the week, where both conversation parties have observed, I've observed, and the other person I've talked to has observed that I've never been busier in my life. And it's kind of, you know, there's so much other stuff that's filled up the time. And you mentioned, you know, I'm a mum with three kids. I mean, the kids are at home in lockdown. They're not going to school. So then, and parents are having to homeschool those kids. So all of a sudden, there's a big time sink that people haven't had before, because they're now taking on what normally the school or the childcare facility that they had their child at for some part of the day would be doing. And they're trying to run their business from home as well, with perhaps not all the resources at their disposal that they had when they were in an office environment.
Oh yeah, 100%. And if your business was never online to begin with, then that's a whole nother slew of like, and so now you want me to take this, A, you want me to sit down for a 90-minute webinar. That's just insane. That's not happening. Yeah. but it's like, now you want me to go through all these modules. I can't get through my work. What do they need? Is it just some place to like vent and ask a question? Is it just like a Slack? Like there's some, think what we're going to have to think about. And what I try to tell people, my clients all the time, is like, it's not what you want them to want. That's unfair. but you're also, that's a good way to like put all your energy into something that's never going to sell. It's not what you want them to want. It's what they want and what they actually need. And you have to ask them. Like, so if that means you have a really great audience and you're like, hey, how would you feel? Like, honestly, like, would something like this help you? Scream it into the void and see what happens, because they may say, no, it wouldn't. Or maybe actually this would help me. Right. And that's something I'm kind of trying to reframe now in this time, is like, how can we pivot quick enough? And I think sometimes we just stay in our heads for too long, and then the market has already solved that problem before we can. And it just starts with actually talking to the people you want to serve, like building those relationships. I think that's what may come out of this situation, is now we're not going to think about return on investment. We're going to start thinking about maybe return on relationship in a different way, and using that. Like, this is a conversation. We could actually make things that people want, and we can actually write things that people need. If we kind of like tapped into that, as opposed to like, the world's ending, now's the time to sell the course.
Yeah, I really like that. We had Ted Rubin on the podcast a little while ago, and he actually has a whole hashtag and t-shirts and everything, ROR, return on relationships. So fascinated that you've used his term.
Yeah, I know, right? I feel like that came through the grapevine. Maybe he's making the He's making.
Yeah, well, I got that. His message is getting through. Yeah, good.
It's working. The shirt is working.
Okay. Now, I think that's a really important point, though. I mean, and it comes back again. You know, you talked about understanding the customer and asking them what could help them. It certainly comes back to that whole concept of empathy with the other person, with the client right now, more than anything because of the strange situation we all find ourselves in.
Yeah. Hmm. Yeah. It's an interesting, I don't know. What actually, the one thing I'm probably sick of hearing the most, and my mentor and the best friend in my head actually said it better than I did, Laura Belgrade. She's like, when were there certain times? Like, I think for people who don't come from those places of privilege, I mean, every day is an uncertain time.
Yeah.
Every month is an uncertain time. And it's just like, are you just realizing that? Because for your audience, it's always been really uncertain for them. And if you really thought for yourself as a business owner, I mean, unless you've just been crushing it and you've had you live in this beautiful roads. I mean, you've done all the personal development. There's no L's, just lessons. There is no way that you've never had an uncertain time, especially as a business owner. I think things are not as routine. I think that's what people may mean. Like things are not kind of business as usual, but like, to think that these are uncertain times, and I'm sure you've gotten emails with that, like said 5 billion ways. And it's like, duh, I know I live in these times. Thank you.
Yeah.
What are you going to help me? What are you going to do to help me get through this? Do you have any value, or actually maybe just don't send me an email?
Yeah.
How about that? That
would be great. Yeah. Where's the unsubscribe? Yeah. I just, in fact, every morning, the first thing I do is I look at my list of emails and I say, okay, which ones can I unsubscribe from? That's the first thing I do. And this morning I was proud of myself. I unsubscribed from 10. So that's always, so if I can unsubscribe from 10. And the next morning I look at them again and I think it's still a big list.
You're like, this hasn't caught up to their CRM yet. I don't want to be here. and just like,
And I hate the ones that say, are you sure you want to unsubscribe? And I said, well, why do you think I clicked that link?
Yeah, why do you think I took the time to scroll the tiniest letters ever?
Yeah. And look at one of the ones I saw this morning, it had actually blue text on a blue background. You couldn't read the text, but it was just slightly different shade. I thought, I think that's the unsubscribe. And I thought they couldn't make it any harder.
Right? I'm just going to slap around the bottom of this email and hopefully I'll unsubscribe. I think what's funny is that people, it's kind of on topic, but I actually got, I thought this was really off brand, and I think the one place that it's happening most is that I think the one thing that is driving it and driving a lot of change and like is benefiting is e-commerce. But I also think the same place that's like not getting it right is e-commerce too. And I learned this from one of my clients. She's just brilliant with that stuff. And I got an email the other day. I won't say who it is. But they just randomly decided that sending me an email that they were now creating, they were now making masks. It's May.
Yeah.
Where were you? Where was this bright idea when now it's a novelty. Like you're not really concerned with helping people. You're trying to profit off. And this brand has done this more than once. And I can see this is probably why there's news that they're not doing fantastic. It's like, you're just so far removed from like what your audience really wants. Even if you're a luxury brand and probably their problems are not the problems of someone who's buying from something a little less luxurious, they still have worries and anxiety and they still have families that are having it's just like, it is just really off taste. And I think there's some great things that are coming out of this. And then there are people who are definitely just trying to profit off a problem that they may not necessarily be feeling, but their customers might be. And so I don't know why they thought throwing out some really cute masks were going to help, but it was really off color. And I see it a lot.
Yeah.
I see it a lot.
Yeah, well, those are the ones that get straight onto my unsubscribe list.
Yeah, I did.
It's fascinating you talk. You talk about, yeah, the use of the word uncertainty for these times. And it, when I see that, I have to laugh, because what you said earlier is fascinating. You know, I think of Tony Robbins' six core needs, and you know, certainty and uncertainty are kind of two of the six needs, and we have both of them. I mean, we have the need for certainty. Obviously, that's, you know, there's safety and security and routines and knowing what to expect and all of these things, you know, feeling as though if I do a certain thing, this is going to be the result. So we have all of those needs, but we also have some need for uncertainty, because otherwise things would get really boring. So we want a bit of variety. And I was thinking, when you were talking about that none of us have ever faced uncertainty in business and so on, I mean, we actually create uncertainty. If we get too bored, we kind of change things up and create some uncertainty. So we actually look for it. And I have to laugh when I see that word in that kind of context. And I say, well, obviously I would rather not have this pandemic around and its impact on everyone right now. But in terms of uncertainty, hey, I love variety, actually.
Oh yeah, right? There is, yeah. I love that you said that. Yeah, sometimes we create uncertainty in our own lives. Because what's life without problems, right? Kind of boring. We need it as humans. This is life now. And it's something I've been trying to like really like stress with my clients. Like, oh, if your kid pops into the Zoom, sweet. Nice. Nice to see someone different on the other side. But back to that. I think, yeah, there are some things of, and that I think if you think about Tony Robbins, right, his, I guess, needs hierarchy are like Maslow's, right? They kind of like are Maslow's hierarchy. And that's why the bottom of Maslow's hierarchy is like doing phenomenally right now, like groceries. What else? So many other just like really basic need things are toilet paper. Remember when everybody was like hoarding toilet paper?
That's right.
Yeah. Apparently that's like a need, which seems really crazy, because like if you're home, you have a shower and like you can. Why didn't you think about the other? Like, there's so many other things to worry about, but that's fine.
Yeah, yeah. That puzzled me too. I thought, that's the first thing people think of.
That was not the first thing I thought was going to go. There's like a joke in New York, because we get pretty, like, really bad snowstorms. Really bad is debatable, but enough to sometimes shut down the city for a little bit. And there's like a joke that is like, what is the first thing you get? Is like, oh God, I gotta leave the house. I gotta get bread, eggs, and cheese. Or like bread, eggs, and milk. Bread, eggs, and milk. And it's like, are there all the three things that are gonna solve your problem in a storm? I don't know. But it's those things that are doing really well. If you're comfy, if you like, once you've gotten those things done, then maybe you're thinking about the course. Then maybe you're thinking about those things. But then maybe that's how you should approach your content now. Like, right, is just like either poking fun of those things or giving them tips to like do what they have now and like just spend your money with that. Maybe I should start warming up my audience for when that part of the pyramid makes sense for them. So maybe now's the time to just give them. And you see that with like yoga studios, like everyone who had very like brick and mortar things, just giving away free content. Some of them because they obviously know this is going to be a great return, but others because they know that they were a safe place for someone, or they know that their people really need them and they're willing to serve them for free.
That's right. And just by doing the right thing, really. I saw a lovely story the other day. It was on the news here. It was about an Australian who had started up a couple of coffee shops in Los Angeles and was still over there running these coffee shops. And obviously they'd been closed because of the shutdown due to the pandemic. And what they'd done, you know, they'd pivoted and had takeaway, and they were doing okay with some takeaway. I mean, they were kind of keeping a few people employed. But what they started doing then was making takeaway coffees and delivering them in person to the hospitals, the healthcare workers, the first responders and various places, and they just show up there and give away coffees to these people. And I said, well, that's actually brilliant. I mean, it's a great thing to do, but it's actually really clever marketing, because guess where people are going to go and get their coffee once this is all over? You know, they'll remember you looked after us when times were tough. So when we want a coffee in 6 months' time and go and sit down in a cafe, guess where they're going to go?
Oh, yeah, 100%. Like, you care about my community. We have a burger spot here. Whether or not someone does that, they actually have a meal that if you buy this meal, it buys someone who's working at a hospital a meal too. And I'm wondering if just having that on their menu may somewhere in my little, like, definitely warm the cockles of my heart. And whether or not I buy that every time, they've been my go-to takeout, and they're consistent and quick, but that's been like, oh, you guys are so great. And so that's what you did. That's where you end up giving your money to, if that's something that's very important to you. And I feel like it's important to most people.
Mm. Yeah. Well, it gives people an opportunity to help in a way that perhaps they don't have direct access to.
Yeah.
Hmm. All right. Well, this is fascinating, Christina. I mean, we've kind of skirted around the edges of copy and content writing, but I think the whole message of having empathy and understanding the other person who's going to be reading that copy and understanding their customers who you're writing it for is really important. I think it's a good time now to move on to the buzz, which is our innovation round, and it's designed to help our audience who are primarily leaders and innovators in their field with some tips from your experience. So I've got 5 questions, and hopefully you'll give us some really short and insightful answers that'll inspire the audience to go and do something awesome today.
Sure. Yeah, let's do it.
What do you think the number one thing is anyone needs to do to be more innovative?
It's going to be funny. It's not what people think. It's to take a break. To actually maybe shut some things off. And I'm not saying that from a preachy place. I'm saying that from there's just only so much content or so much learning you can consume. And sometimes you have to be quiet enough to know that you probably have the answers inside of you. And sometimes that gets diluted by always like, oh, I must always be learning. I always must be learning. I think there's something that's really innovative in taking a break. Whether it be an actual break, like a nap, or, you know, moving from one, you know, stopping one part of that and then maybe doing something creative or something that brings you joy. So I think the key to innovation is maybe just staying still and taking a break.
Mm, yeah, I love that. I was reading something this morning about one of the people whose emails I do read regularly, and he was describing the weekend where he basically shut off all his devices, and he spent time with his wife and his 2 daughters, and they were out in the park and so on. And now all of a sudden he had all these wonderful ideas because he kind of shut himself off from all of that. And somewhere from his unconscious up bubbled all these ideas that had been suppressed all this time because the brain was so busy doing the stuff. So it's the same kind of thing, isn't it?
Yeah.
Okay, now what's the best thing you've done to develop new ideas?
The best thing I've done to develop new ideas. Let's see. I think for me, which is like a joke in all my copywriting groups that I'm a part of, I'm pretty extroverted, which apparently is like not a thing in copywriting. For me, it's talking things out. It's not so much writing. We had something in a think tank, and everybody kept saying journaling. And I was like, this is going to probably either annoy you or like, you're going to be like, roll your eyes. And I was just like, I just can't get behind it. I'm completely lost by it. Like, I'm just like writing without, I guess there is a purpose, but like my brain is just like, I can't, it's just not working. So for me, my journaling or where I come up with best ideas is just like when I'm talking to someone and like just bouncing, and it may not be a brainstorming, but for me, it's always just talking to people and coming away with that stuff. I also have a really weird sense of memory. And I can like replay conversations. I'm sure that comes from a place in a time where I was a little awkward and I'd be like, I can't believe I said that. And then like just replay how that conversation could have went better. But for me, it has to be just talking with people. Maybe it's back to the empathy and all the skirting I did around copywriting. I think at the end of the day, you can write beautifully. That's just like not what copywriting is, right? It's not beautiful it's not beautiful writing. It's human. It's understanding how people work and how people think and what people need. And so the only way you're going to find that out, whether it's for innovation or for copy, is by talking to people.
That's great. And also, I think probably in talking something out loud and explaining it to somebody else, it forces you to articulate it in a way that perhaps you wouldn't if you just sort of wrote down some bullet points in a journal, or if you just were having the thoughts to yourself and keeping them to yourself.
Yeah. And I think you try to be really clever when you write things. For me, I kind of don't really think before I speak. That's either a pro or a con. Mm. So the very raw thought or very raw idea has come out. It's gone. It's out already. Mm. And someone's already heard it and they've repeated it back to me, or have agreed or disagreed. So it kind of has already been validated in space. If it's like on a piece of paper in a book, that I don't know about you, but I never read my journals, or I've never like go back. I have notebooks full of stuff. I rarely go back unless I'm called to, like I'm looking for something. So yeah, That makes sense.
Fascinating, yeah. All right, well, do you have a favorite resource that you use most often?
Yeah, so I'd say, and I've got the free and the paid version. So anything Joanna Wiebe, you've probably heard this from every copywriter that's come on here, maybe not. Copy Hackers. If you are a business owner, if you're a copywriter, she gives away free content and good free content on the regular. So if you go to copyhackers.com, that's the free stuff. If you're a copywriter or you're in digital marketing or you just really want to understand down to ethos graphics and like her copy school, I think that's what it's called too. I think it's called Copy School. It is a college. I don't even know how anyone gets through it. I don't like strive for like, you get certifications, like it's real, but it's just a lot. It's a university. She should probably teach at, she should just stop everything and do that. But it is just phenomenal, the stuff that she uses. So definitely Copy Hackers, definitely Copy School. And then just reading, like my guilty pleasure, and I say this to my clients all the time, is I read Cosmo magazine. I've probably aged out of that, honestly. But their quizzes are so good. And if you want to create a quiz, I guess, top of funnel, and you're just like, I don't want to pay someone to do this, or I don't really understand how it works, read a few Cosmos and take a few quizzes and just see their headlines and like some really, like really trashy, it's not a trashy magazine, but things that don't really probably give you the most street cred in like your industry. If you read some of the stuff outside of it, you probably get a lot of value. So Copy Hackers, Copy School, and Cosmo magazine.
Great. All right. And we'll include links to all of that. Cosmo online now these days?
You know what? I'm sure they have a blog.
Yeah.
So either Cosmo, they do. Cosmo UK and Cosmo US definitely have a blog. Because every now and then I'll want to reference something in Europe and I'll go to Cosmo UK because their slang is a little different and their pop culture references are a little different. So yeah, if nothing, just go to Cosmo, just read a Cosmo magazine.
Great. All right. Now, what's the best way to keep a project on track or a client on track?
Boundaries, which I may be telling that to myself, I always say that you gotta have boundaries, but it's really hard, especially when you're working with people you love and you like, and you really want to see them succeed. But it's something that I actually learned today. You know, we were talking about overwhelm, and in one of my groups, and we were talking about like what you can be doing. And one of the tips were like getting down to the hour how much your time cost. And you know, when you start adding up all the little things you do that are either not on scope, or even for yourself, like you're wasting time doing something that's maybe not a priority. It'd be nice to do, or it's easier to do, what that time cost you. And so creating boundaries, I think, is really helpful, and knowing what you can do with your time. Also, something I actually read recently, I think it was an Instagram quote, real deep. I can't believe I'm using Instagram as an insight, but it was kind of like people pleasing is a form of manipulation, right? Mm-hmm. If you're always in a state of people pleasing, you're kind of manipulating that person to think that you have all the skills that you possibly can have at your disposal, all the time, all your time belongs to them. The people pleasing at the end of the day is kind of putting up a facade to someone that you've got everything covered. Everything is about them. Nothing about you is important. It is. I was like, oh, wow. You know, sometimes we're rewarded for people pleasing, but it's really just faking, either being competent or putting yourself last. And so I think boundaries is really something that can kind of help with that. Boundaries for yourself, but also boundaries for your clients. And it helps them in the end. It's very clear what you're there for. And there's no confusion.
Yeah, I love that. And in some ways it's kind of looking after yourself first as well, because otherwise you're not really any use to your clients.
Yeah.
So that's kind of the idea of the boundary as well, isn't it?
Yeah, 100%.
All right. Now, what's the number one thing anyone can do to differentiate themselves?
This is going to sound so hokey, but be yourself, right? Be yourself. And that may actually mean actually have a task from my virtual assistant, who is now becoming, we're promoting her to OBM, and she's about to take a certification. I'm so excited because I need that. I was like, can you, when you get a chance, just unfollow everyone that's doing what I'm doing for me? I follow like 2,000 people, and I don't even know who these people are. But a lot of them are people who are either aspirational or doing something that I'm doing. And it really not only stifles my creativity, but it always has me second guessing myself. And comparisonitis is super real, especially in social media. So that's been like one thing, so that I can finally like figure out if this voice is that I'm speaking in is actually truly mine. Is this content truly what I want to be creating, or is this what so-and-so is creating and it's because they're doing what I'm doing? So it's definitely being yourself, and not with that said, it's not being scared to take a stand for things. A lot of the things I write about and a lot of the things that are even in my website copy, you know, could make someone squirm, but that's also those are actually people who I don't really want to work for. So it's got, you know, as much as we'd like to think that we're for everyone and we want to help everyone. I think deep down we don't. why pretend, you know, pretend to want to save the world when you really want to save a few?
Yeah, it comes back to the people pleasing thing you mentioned earlier, isn't it? And if you take a stand about things you believe in, and then people see, yes, that's you, that's genuinely you, because you've got the courage to speak out about things that are on your mind, things that you might be unhappy about, things that you're passionate about making a difference in. And like you say, you'll put some people off, but you'll also attract people that share your values and beliefs, and they're more fun to work with anyway. And by putting the others off, you're actually doing them a service as well.
Oh, yeah.
Because they, yeah, they can go and find somebody else that is different. It's the whole purpose of the differentiation thing.
Right. Yeah, it comes full circle now.
All right. Well, thanks, Christina. This has been really fabulous. Now, where can people find out more about you and perhaps even reach out and say thanks for what you've shared with us today?
Yeah, sure. So you can find me, I feel like the easiest place to find me in all things, because I may have differentiated myself too much across the platforms. They all have different names. So the best place to find me is at runandtellthat.co. So RUNAND, tellthat.co. All my links to my Instagram and my Twitter. I'm mostly on Instagram. You can definitely find me there. And if you go through my website, you can definitely link to my Instagram. It's super long and I won't even bore your audience with spelling it. Christina Torres is a very common name. And so I had to jumble it. I just wasn't feeling super creative when I started it. And I have a business account, but it's too much to manage. And I wanted to differentiate myself. I wanted people to want to work with me, not with Run and Tell That, which I think a lot of us do, like we hide behind companies and stuff. So, yeah. And it's my personal. So if you find it, you know, you're my friend. You're really my friend now.
All right. Well, we'll see if we can find it and we'll post a link on the show notes for it.
Yeah, we'll definitely put it in the show notes. I won't bore them with the spelling, but I'll definitely do that much.
Great. All right. Well, do you have a parting piece of advice you'd like to leave our listener today?
If you're not sure what your voice is, the only way you're going to find out is if you just get writing and start putting it out there.
Hmm.
There really is. I wish there was like some really amazing way that you just like totally. And maybe because I just finished a brand tone voice guide for someone that I'm just like, there really is no other way. Like, you may want this fancy voice or this fancy message, but at the end of the day, it's your like it has to be your voice, and the only way to get there is to start using it. Honestly, so yeah, that would be my one piece of advice. And I guess part B was, if you're still really not sure, just voice record yourself and transcribe it. really wary about doing it the old-fashioned way.
Mm-hmm. I actually love that voice recording and transcribing. I've got a transcription tool that we've started using for some of our podcast work. And I thought, actually, I've got all these recordings that I've done in the past, and I've got webinars and things. That's all content. I'll just run it through this thing, and magically within a minute or two, I can have half an hour webinar transposed or transcribed. And then it is AI, so I need to go through and correct it. But then I've got this article that is my voice, because it's me speaking without notes. And I thought, this is actually a really good way to do this.
Yeah, no, it's amazing. And what's funny is I always knew that. And then my son, they watch YouTube. And then one day I caught him using the voice recorder, either my phone or the iPad. And he was like pretending to record an episode. And I was like, this kid is brilliant. I'm telling all my clients to start voice recording themselves. It's true. And I can't wait to listen back to them. I'm sure they don't make any sense on his behalf, but it was pretty genius of him. So hopefully, I don't know, maybe he'll be a copywriter too. That'd be cool.
Great. Yeah. All right. Well, thanks, Christina. Finally, who would you like me to chat with on a future Innova Buzz podcast, and why?
Oh, wow. So, and I think it's really, I feel like it'll go past coronavirus. So at least we'll get away from this at some point. Tamara Glick, she's part copywriter, but she's part stylist. And she brings she thinks it's just fashion, but I like to call her, she's like a life stylist. And she kind of melds personal branding and company branding and just like almost social activism branding. It's just really interesting how she can turn fashion and putting your best face or the face that's really you forward. It's kind of like your visual voice. And she's just like super, super phenomenal. And it blows my mind because I didn't even realize how much I actually love fashion. You probably, luckily, the audience can't see me. You can't tell by this get up. But I actually really do. And it's something I kind of understood, you know, kind of like to dress the part, but still like dress like yourself. And so she's got a really unique way of making it so much more about the clothes and actually making it about your visual voice. So Tamara Glick, for sure.
Okay, well, we'll get an intro from you to Tamara. And yeah, sounds like a fascinating topic to explore further.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
All right, well, thanks so much for sharing your time and your insights with us so generously today, Christina. I've really enjoyed this and I appreciate the time you spent with us. And all the best for the future and let's keep in touch.
Oh, yes, absolutely. Thanks, Jorgen.
Bye.
Bye.
I hope you enjoyed that engaging and insightful conversation with Christina and took something away from her episode that you can use and apply in your business today. The themes of empathy and talking to your customers were all throughout this conversation. And I love Christina's recommendation that the only way to find your voice is to get writing and put it out there. I'm curious to know what you took away from Christina's episode. Leave a comment below the blog post, which you can find at innovabiz.co/Christina Torres. That is ChristinaTorres. All lowercase, all one word, innovabiz.co/Christina Torres. You'll also find contact information for getting in touch with Christina there, as well as links to the Run and Tell That website, the Bagels and Plantain podcast, her social media pages, and the other resources we spoke about in today's conversation. Christina suggested that we have a conversation with personal branding expert Tamara Glick on a future Innova Buzz podcast episode. So Tamara, keep an eye on your inbox for an invitation from us to the Innova Buzz podcast, courtesy of Christina Torres. Tune in again to the next episodes of the Innova Buzz podcast, where we've got more fantastic guests lined up, including sales and profit coach Fabian Pateau and Sarah McIntyre of Bright Inbound Marketing. Thanks for listening to this episode. Make sure you subscribe to the show to be reminded of new episodes. It's free to subscribe. Leave a review if you like. Even if you don't like me, I'm okay with that. I'm asking you to leave a review because it helps other people find this show. Go to innovabiz.co to join our marketing transformation community and access a free gift my team and I made for you. It's the Marketing Master Mini Class. We want to give you everything you need to transform your marketing into a human-centered, relationship-focused growth engine. Until next time, I'm Jorgen Strauss from InnovaBiz. Remember, be awesome and keep innovating.